Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, see that banner go. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, the 19th of April, 2017. We're in the book of Zechariah, that is Zechariah in Hebrew. In chapter 7 is where we're going to start today. I'll probably do 7, 8, 9, 10. The chapters aren't real long, but they're full of information and they need full study. Let's get right into this. Verse 1 of chapter 7 of the book of Zechariah. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius, that's Darius the Mede, okay? A lot of this was occurring with the prophets simultaneously. There was a bunch of prophets prophesying at the same time. So all of these overlap. Came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius, the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month in Kislev. That's 3691, and it corresponds to November and December, the last half of November and the first part of December in the Gregorian calendar. Verse 2. When they had sent to Beth El, that's the house of El, that's a city, Saretzer, 8272, that's of foreign origin, we don't know what it means, and Regem Melech, 7278, that means king's heap, and their men to entreat the favor of Yahweh. Verse 3, to speak to the priests which were in the house of Yahweh of hosts, and to the prophets, 5030, that's Nabiim, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, dedicating myself as I have done these many years? The fifth month is the month of Av. That corresponds to the last part of July and the first part of August. Verse 4. Then came the word of Yahweh of hosts to me, saying, speak to all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted, that's the fifth month, the ninth of Av is a fast, and lamented, 5594, in the fifth and seventh month, that's Yom Kippur in the seventh month, those 70 years, did you at all fast to me? In other words, was it an honest fast? And you can reference Leviticus 16, all of that chapter, and chapter 23, verse 27. Verse 6, and when you ate and when you drank, did you not eat and drink? Verse 7, Were these not the words which Yahweh cried by the former prophets? When Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous, and the cities around her, when the Negev and the Shephelah were inhabited, that's the southern desert region and the plains region, Shephelah. And the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah, saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, this is verse 9, saying, execute, 8199, true justice, and show mercy and compassion, every man to his kinsman. Verse 10. And do not oppress the widow, nor the fatherless child, the sojourner, nor the poor, and let none of you evil men plan against his kinsman in his heart. Verse 11. But they refused to listen and gave a stubborn shoulder. In other words, an idiom for rebellious. Okay, that's a Hebrew idiom. And gave a stubborn shoulder and made heavy their ears from hearing. That means they stopped up their ears. Verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as a diamond, 8068, that's as hard, from hearing the Torah. They hardened their heart against the Torah. And the words which Yahweh of hosts has sent by his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, a great wrath, 71:10, came from Yahweh of hosts. Verse 13, therefore it is as he cried, and they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear, says Yahweh of hosts. Verse 14, but I scattered them with a whirlwind, 55:90, among all the nations whom they did not know. Thus the land was desolate after them, so that none passed through nor returned. For they laid the pleasant land waste. And that's insincere fasting in this chapter. This is post-first exile. Okay? Prior to the second temple being rebuilt, Israel is returning and Yahweh is speaking to them. In other words, don't do what you were doing before that got you dispersed. Here's chapter 8, verse 1. Again, the word of Yahweh of hosts came, saying, verse 2, thus says Yahweh of hosts, I was jealous, 7065, for Zion with a great zeal, 7068. And I was jealous for her with great fury, 2534. Verse 3. Thus says Yahweh, I am returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. 571, and the mountain of Yahweh of hosts, the holy mountain. Verse 4, thus says Yahweh of hosts, there shall yet dwell old men and old women in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with a staff in his hand from a multitude of days. That's old age. Let me get a drink of coffee and clear my pipes here for a second. Ah, yes. Multitude of days. Mm-mm-mm. I've got a multitude of days. I'm old. Verse 5 of chapter 8. And the streets of the city shall be full of young men and young women sporting in the streets of it. That's playing, sporting, 7832, making sport, being young. Verse 6. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, if it is beyond one's power, 6381, Pala, in the eyes of the remnant of these people in these days, should it also be beyond one's power in my eyes? Says Yahweh of hosts. In other words, do you think I have limits like you do? That's basically what he's asking. Do you think I am limited in power like men? Well, surely not. Verse 7 of chapter 8. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the land of the setting sun. That's the east and the west. Verse 8, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim in truth and in righteousness. So he's going to gather them all out of the dispersion. The dispersion is now over at that time. There would be another dispersion later. Verse 9. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, let your hands be strong, you that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets which were in the day of the foundation was laid. In the day the foundation was laid. Of the house of Yahweh of hosts, that the temple might be built. Verse 10. For before these days there were no wages for Adam, nor wages for beast. Now what kind of beasts need wages? Two-legged beasts. Okay. Figure it out. Adam and beast. Neither was there peace to him that went out or came in because of adversaries. 6862, for I set all Adami, all of Adamites, not mankind, all of the Adamites, specifically of the children of the race of Adam, everyone against his neighbor, Adamite against Adamite. Well, we've had that here. All the wars that the Jews have caused, we go kill our racial brothers. And they haven't figured it out yet. Some of them are starting to. We're teaching them, but it's a slow learning process. Verse 11, but now I will not be to the remnant of this people as in the former days, says Yahweh of hosts. For the seed, 2:2-3, shall prosper. 7:9-6:5, literally that's shalom, that's peace. It has several uses. The vine shall give its fruit, and the land shall give its crop, 2:9-8:1, and the skies shall give the dew, and I shall cause the remnant of this people to possess, 5:1-5:7, all these things. In other words, it's all the famine and the drought and everything's going to end. He's going to bless the land again. He's going to give them a second chance. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as you were a curse, 7045, among the nations, O house of Yehuda and house of Israel, so I will save you. And you shall be a blessing. Do not fear, let your hands be strong. The curse was the punishment from the law that they had broken. Verse 14. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, as I thought, 2:1-6:1, to bring evil upon, 7:4-8:9, that's Ra'ah, when your ancestors provoked me to wrath, 7:1-0:7, says Yahweh of hosts, and I did not have regret. verse 16, or 15, pardon me, of chapter 8. So in reverse, 7725, I have thought in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Yehuda. Do not fear. Things have changed. You've served your punishment of the 70 years in captivity. In other words, that's what he's saying. Verse 16, these are the things that you shall do. In verse 16, you can reference Ephesians 4, verse 25. Okay, these are the things that you shall do. Speak every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the justice of truth and peace in your gates. In other words, do right ruling. Verse 17, and let no man plan, 2803, evil in your hearts against another man. And love no false oath, for all these things are what I hate, says Yahweh. False oath, that's to swear falsely. Verse 18, and the word of Yahweh of hosts came to me, saying, verse 19, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, okay, on that, you reference 2 Kings 25, verse 3, and Jeremiah 52, verse 6. And the fast of the fifth, and on the fifth you reference 2 Kings 25, 8 and 9, and Jeremiah 52, verses 12 and 13. And the fast of the seventh, and you reference Leviticus 16, all of it, and 23, 27, and 2 Kings 25, verse 25, Jeremiah 41, verses 1 through 3, and the fast of the 10th, and you reference 2 Kings 25, 1, and Jeremiah 52, 4 for the 10th. Shall be to the house of Yehuda joy, 8342, and gladness, 8057, and cheerful, 2896, appointed feasts, 4150. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Verse 20, thus says Yahweh of hosts, yet there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. Verse 21, and the inhabitants of one shall go to another, saying, let us go quickly to entreat the favor of Yahweh and to seek Yahweh of hosts. I will go also. Verse 22, yea, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of Yahweh. Everybody was going to know that Yahweh was the divine being. Verse 23, thus says Yahweh of hosts, in those days, 10 men shall take hold from all languages, 3956, of the nations, shall take hold of the skirt, 3671, of a man of Yahudi, 3064, that's a man of the tribe of Yehuda, saying, we will go with you, because we have heard that Elohim is with you. They're going to become so prosperous that all the nations are going to want to be friends. Well, now they're not. Chapter 8 is about the rebuilding of the population of Jerusalem. It had been emptied during the Babylonian captivity and burned quite a bit because of their worshiping pagan idols on the roofs of their houses. So they burned all the houses out. They had walls and stuff, but they didn't have any roofs. They just burned them out. They were burned out ruins. But now Yahweh is going to restore it. Yahweh says there will be both old and young living there. In verse 6, he declares that even though this whole thing is going to be a huge task, nothing is beyond his power to accomplish it. And 14 and 15, Yahweh says he had been wrathful toward Israel's ancestors for their behavior, but now he will be the opposite and will lay blessings on his people now that their punishment is finished. But he warns in verse 17 of behavior that he hates. Okay, the fourth month, in the verse 19, it's complicated. The fasts. The fourth month is called Tammuz. Back then, it was called the fourth month. It didn't have a name. Tammuz is a name of a Babylonian sun god and was brought back from Babel, where this god was worshipped. A lot of Babel had crept into the worship practices by that time, and the pagan practices continue today through the Babylonian Talmud, with all the added traditions practiced in Judaism. Hebrewism was the worship practice of the patriarchs of Israel, not Judaism. Judaism is rather recent in the frame of time, and it's been expanded by rabbinical decrees and commentaries that have become part of the orthodoxy along with Kabbalism. So don't be concerned with the names of the month. Just follow what Yahweh commanded. So on that note, look at Isaiah 2 verses 5 and 6 and see the warning there about the addition of these practices into our worship. Now, on the 17th of the fourth month, the city of Jerusalem was conquered during a great famine. Okay, the siege had begun in the ninth year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. It continued for several years, and the city fell due to the famine. The fifth month is called Av. And on the tenth day, the king of Babel sent his chief of the guard, Nebuzaradan, into the city, whereupon he burned the temple and much of the city as well. The fast, however, is on the ninth, as it is the day that the spies gave a false report to Moshe, and Israel was banished to wander 40 years in the wilderness until that generation died. Reference Numbers 14. Somehow the temple burning gets commemorated along with this. I'm unsure on this, but the wilderness wandering is definite. The fast of the ninth of Av is more Jewish than anything else. So I don't observe it. The seventh month is called Tishrei and has several fasts today. On the fourth is the fast of Gedaliah. He was the governor appointed by the king of Babel and who was a righteous man. He was slain by Ishmael, one of the king's commanders, and was of royal descent. And a fast was proclaimed for Gedaliah. This is a commemorative fast only, not a commanded fast. The second fast is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And that reference is Leviticus 16, all of it, and chapter 23, verse 27. We do keep the Day of Atonement. It is now a Christian celebration because Yeshua Messiah has covered over. Yom Kippur means the covering over, the day of covering over. The blood of Yeshua Messiah has covered over our sins if we accept that covenant. Let me clear my lungs and get a drink of coffee here. Yeah, I talked myself right out of breath. The 10th month is called Tevet, and it is the month that Nebuchadnezzar began the siege of Jerusalem. This ties in with the fast in the 4th month, and the fast is on the 10th day of the 10th month. The only commanded fast is Yom Kippur. The others are commemorative only, and they were much touted and practiced loudly by the Jews. They're in Scripture. They were celebrated in the land of Yehuda and elsewhere in the lands of Israel. Because the Jews do something doesn't make it theirs. Don't be confused by that. Oh, that's a Jewish fast. No, they're not. Their Israelite fast in commemoration of events. The Jews have tried to steal our birthright by imitating us. And they have co-opted a lot of these fasts, pretending to be of the tribe of Yehuda, when they are not. It says in Revelations they are not. They are liars and of the synagogue of Satan. So, because they do it, don't let them steal our birthright. In verse 23, Yahudi does not translate to Jew. That means a man of the tribe of Yehuda. Yahudi means those who praise Yah, or a native born person, or of the region of Judea, a Judean. So let's get into chapter 9 of the book of Zechariah. Now, verses 1 through 4, there's a lot of references here, so I will go slow and pause. Verses 1 through 4 of chapter 9, you can reference Isaiah 23, verses 1 through 18. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 26, 1 through chapter 28, 26. The book of Joel, chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. The book of Amos, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 21 and 22. The book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. And 9:1 only. You can reference Isaiah 17, verses 1 through 3, Jeremiah 49, verses 23 through 27, and Amos chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. That's a lot of references. Coffee. Ah, yes. Oh, that's marvelous. Let's get into chapter 9 here, verse 1. The prophetic utterance of the word of Yahweh in the land of Kadrach 2317, and Damascus, that's Damascus, 1834, shall be the resting place of it. When the eyes of Adam, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward Yahweh. And Kamath, 2574, also shall border, 1379, by there. Zor, that's 6865, that's Tyre, and Zidon, 6721, though it is very wise, 2449. Pardon me. And Zor built herself a siege work, 4692, and heaped up, 6651, silver as the dust, 6083, and fine gold, 2742, as the mire, 2916, of the streets. Now here's verse 4. In verse 4, they have changed Yahweh to Adonai in the King James. That's number 136. I have removed Adonai and placed Yahweh back in its proper place. They took the holy name out here. Verse 4. Behold, Yahweh will cast her out. 3423. And he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Because Tyre and Zidon were seafaring nations. Here we are, verse 5 of chapter 9. Now we have another bunch of references here. Verses 5 through 7 of chapter 9. You can reference Isaiah 14, verses 29 through 31. Jeremiah 47, verses 1 through 7. Ezekiel 25, verses 15 through 17. Joel 3, verses 4 through 8. Amos 1, verses 6 through 8, and Zephaniah 2, verses 4 through 7. So here's verse 5. Ashkelon, 831, that was the city of the Philistines, shall see and fear. Aza, 5804, that's Gaza now, also, and have great anguish, and Ekron, 6138, for her expectation of alliance shall be ashamed, and the king shall perish from Aza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And they hope with an alliance with Philistia here. Let me get another page. Verse 6 of chapter 9. And a Mamzer, 4464, that is a mongrel or a mixed race person, shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the majesty, 1347, of the Pelishti, 6430, that's the Philistines. They'll have a mixed race king. Verse 7, and I will take away his blood from his mouth, and his detested thing from between his teeth. That means unclean food that he would be eating. But he that remains, he shall be for our Elohim, and he shall be as a chief, 441, in Yehuda and Ekron, as a Jebusee, 2983. The Jebusee were the original Canaanite residents of Jerusalem. They'll be cast out. pardon me, verse 8, and I will camp about my house as a watch because of the passerby and because of those returning, and no oppressor shall pass through them anymore, for now I have seen with my eyes. Verse 9. And verse 9, you can reference Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, Mark chapter 11, verse 7, Luke chapter 19, verse 38, and John chapter 12, verse 15. Verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is just and victorious, yet humble, riding upon an ass, a colt of an ass, 2543, upon a male ass, 5895, the son of a she-ass. That's prophesy of the Messiah. Verse 10, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the land. That's the territory of Ephraim. And verse 10, you can reference Psalms 72, verse 8. Verse 11, pardon me. And for you also, by the blood of your covenant, I have set free your prisoners from the pit with no water. A pit with no water. These were the prisoners. 615 references the liberated exiles of Israel. Verse 12. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare I will render double to you. And stronghold here is 1225, and that is Bitzaron. And perhaps that is a nickname for Shomeron, Samaria, because they were going to repopulate that. Verse 13, when I have bent Yehuda, 1869, bent, literally tread, as to bend Yehuda as a bow. And they used to step on a bow and then pull it up in order to string it. That was the method. That's what this refers to. And filled the bow with Ephraim and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Yawan, 3120, that's Greece, and made you as the sword of a valiant man. Verse 14. And Yahweh will be seen over them, and his arrow, 2671, shall go forth as the lightning, 1300. And the Lord Yahweh, that's a title preceding the name of Yahweh, shall blow the shofar and shall walk as the storm winds, 5591, of the south, 8486. Just walking through will be a great storm when he walks through. Wow. Verse 15, Yahweh of hosts shall give protection, 1598, upon them. And they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and be boisterous as with wine. and they shall be filled like bowls as the corners of the altar. And the corners of the altar being filled connotates the blood that was drained off. That's where the blood of the altar drained off. Verse 16, and Yahweh their Elohim shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, like sheep, flock of sheep, 6629, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, those precious stones, 5145, crown, sparkling, 5264, upon his land. Verse 17, for how good and how beautiful, as grain the young men shall flourish, and as new wine, 8492, the young women, 1330, this is the implication of virginity. The young women were virgins, they were pure. 1330 is Bethulah. And in chapter 9, verses 1 through 8 are of judgment on Israel's enemy. And 9 through 17 are of Yahweh as Israel's king in the person of the Messiah. So that takes care of that. Here's chapter 10 and how many verses? It's only 12 verses. I'm going to hit it. Verse 1 of chapter 10 of Zechariah. Ask of Yahweh rain in the time of the spring rain. Yahweh shall make lightning and give showers of rain to every man's grass in the field. Verse 2. Now, verse 2, reference Matthew 9. Verse 36, and Mark 6, verse 34. Verse 2, because the teraphim, 8655, those were household idols, usually weather gods. Because the teraphim have spoken wicked imaginations, that's 205. And the diviners, 7080, have seen a lie, 8267, and have told false dreams. They comfort themselves to no purpose. Therefore they travel as with a flock. They were afflicted because there was no shepherd, no true pastor to lead anybody. Verse 3, here's Yahweh speaking. My anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I visited punishment upon the he-goats. 6260, that's atud. Those are as oppressive leaders. And shepherds is a figurative of rulers. For Yahweh's host had visited his flock, the house of Yehuda, and has made them as the horse of his majesty in battle. A mighty steed. Verse 4. From him came forth the corner, 6438. That's Pina, that's figurative of the of Judah producing a chief ruler. From him the tent pin, 3489, that figurative, that's Yathed, that's figurative as the support of the state. From him the bow of battle. From him all rulers together as united. Verse 5. And they shall be as valiant men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. and they shall fight because Yahweh is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame. That's enemy cavalry. Okay? Verse 6. And I will strengthen the house of Yehudah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I shall return them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not rejected them. In other words, wanting to put them into punishment. For I am Yahweh, their Elohim, and will answer them. He's going to restore Israel. He's giving them a second chance. This is just before the second temple was built. They had come out of the captivity. And Ephraim shall be valiant, and their heart shall rejoice as with wine. Yea, their children shall see and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice in Yahweh. Verse 8. I will hiss for them. 8:3:1:9. That's as a signal. Like, you're trying to signal a guard. And he looks over, and then you point at something. You know, I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. They're going to come back. Verse 9 and 10. Baruch 2, verses 20 through 32 in your Apocrypha. Verse 9, and I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries. 4:8:01. And they and their children shall live and shall return. I will return them also from the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, and gather them from Asher, that's Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead, 1568, and Lebanon, 3844, and shall not be found, 4672, and this is implied, a place large enough for them. Verse 11, and he shall pass through the sea in distress, and shall smite the waves of the sea, and all the deeps of the river Nile shall dry up, and the pride of Asher shall be brought down, and the scepter of Mitzrayim shall depart. And I will strengthen them in Yahweh, and they shall walk in my name, says Yahweh. Now, in chapter 10, verse 2 shows the futility of idol worship and false prophets. It's going to make fools of all of them. Verse 3, the shepherds are the wicked rulers, and the he-goats are the oppressive leaders. Yahweh is going to punish them and return Yehuda to its former majesty as when they used to be faithful to Yahweh. And verse 4, the corner is a figurative for the chief ruler, and the tent pin or peg holds up the state like a tent as support. Yehuda taught the use of the bow. And you can reference 2 Samuel 1, verse 18. And under Yahweh, all the leaders will work together as one. And verses 6 and 7, Yehuda, Ephraim, and Joseph are symbolic of all of Israel. And like I said, verse 8, the hiss is a signal like, hey you, to get Israel's attention so Yahweh can gather them. In verse 9, All of Israel and its children shall be gathered by Yahweh. This will occur under the returned Messiah, Yeshua. It's going to happen a second time. The remnant will be returned. And there's going to be a lot of Israel that have rejected Yahweh and have gone too deep into the world and are not redeemable. There's criteria for the redemption. You just, you know, I'm sorry, it's not blanket coverage. All of Israel will be resurrected, but it says right there in Revelation, some for eternal life and some for the second death. Not all of Israel's going to make it, because a lot of Israel is rejecting the teachings of the Bible today. They say the law has passed away and interracial marriage is all right, or homosexuality is all right. They're in apostasy. They're not worshiping Yahweh. They're not obeying His commands. They don't keep the feasts. They don't do any of that. It's Judeo-Christianity. It's not Yahweh worship. In verses 10 and 11, Egypt and Assyria are figuratives for all of Israel's enemy. Assyria is not Syria. A different people. They are two distinct nations and people. Assyria is Asher in Hebrew, and Syria is Aram, A-R-A-M, from which comes the language Aramaic, which was spoken by Yeshua Messiah. It's almost identical with Hebrew, except for pronunciation differences in certain words and a few changes in tenses. It's almost the same. A lot of the scrolls that they have found are in Aramaic. All of these are dual time periods. And I know a lot of the Judeo-Christian churches don't want to teach that. They get very, very, very upset when you stray from their church doctrine. Most of the people, they'll gloss over the Bible, but they'll go over it with the instruction manuals from their particular denomination. It's denominationalism. It's not Yahweh worship. And they're playing with fire. They really are. We try to reach them and tell them obedience is what Yahweh wants. They don't even use the name of Yahweh. They're calling upon Lord and God. And the connotations of that are evil. For the most part, I think Christian identity is the only group of people. And we're not exactly in a denomination, because among different groups there are some differences, but they're minor. We all agree that the race of Adam is the foundation of our people. We're of the Adamic seed line. That Israel is not the swarthy hook-nosed people over in Israeli today, or the either the Sephardic or the Ashkenaz Jews. They're not Israel at all. They don't meet the criteria. Only the Caucasian people do. We agree on that. We agree on the food laws. We don't eat pork. I don't know any CI people that eat pork. We agree on keeping the feast. Now, our calendar differences, we keep it at different times. But the spirit is there, and we're keeping it. That's the point. That's what Yahweh wants. Now, Eli and I go by Enoch's solar calendar. We publish that. We have it offered for $20 donation. It's on very heavy gloss paper, and it has all the feast days and everything. Brother Hebert of North Carolina put it together. And if you want one, I have one, and I love it. Hit the donate button at the top of the EFR page and send us a donation of $20 or more. And that'll pay for the calendar and shipping and a donation to EFR, because we need your support financially. And put calendar in the message and your mailing address, and you will get your calendar. I don't know how many of them are left. We only had a certain amount printed. We may have to do a second printing. But they are really nice. Very, very nice. Some of the hosts on EFR need some support. We donate so much time that a lot of times the guys can't work a job. They can't keep a job and do what they do at EFR. So if you're going to preach the gospel, you should live by the gospel. That's what it says in the scripture. We should help our brothers out. Not because we have to, not because we're making any promises to you, but because it's the right thing to do. You should support those that are doing all this work for you. You know, it's all volunteer, and sometimes some of the guys fall short on their monthly rent because they're spending so much time doing what they're supposed to do for Yahweh that they don't have time to take care of worldly things. So if you have a couple of shekels, send some donations to EFR. Send some to David James. He could use your help. A number of us. You know, I'm living on social insecurity, and I'm not going to starve to death. But I sure live mighty poor. And I have to pay for camping spots at the feast days and stuff too, just like everybody else. I'm just a regular fella. I put my pants on one leg at a time. But I've been called to teach and to preach. And I hope you enjoy these lessons. I try to make them very, very thorough. And I try to go slow enough that you have enough time to write things down. If I went through it rapid fire, you'd get nothing out of it, because you wouldn't have a chance to write down the references and make little notes on some of the idioms and stuff that I tell you about. Because I've really done my homework on all this. And most people don't have the physical time to go this deep into it. Well, I have had the time, and I have done it. And Yahweh gave me the time to do it, and now he wants me to impart this knowledge to my brothers and sisters. I do the very best I can, and I hope I make it fun to listen to and informative. That's the whole point of this. So with that, I'm coming down the end of the hour, and I'll start in chapter 11 of Zechariah tomorrow on the 20th. So may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will say Shalom Aleichem, that's peace be with you, to all my brothers and sisters. And it's time for Onward Christian Soldiers. Here comes Ernie.
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going.